for just a second, Jeremy. I forgot to do something this morning. You've probably read in Acts 2 about the upper room where the people prayed. I'm actually going to read that from you, Connor. Is it on? All right. If you will hold that. And so Jeremy sent me a note last night. Remember to come back and pray at 9:20. And I said, I'll be there. And so I'm singing and I'm like, I forgot to pray with these guys. And they pray for me before the service, and I appreciate that. And since I forgot that, I thought, why don't we all just join together in prayer? You know, I started the church a little over 25 years ago. It's not my church. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I like your church, whatever. It's not my church. Remember, Jesus said this. He said, I will build my church. Jesus said, it's his church. It belongs to him. And this is our church, and that we're a family, but ultimately it's God's, right? Everything we do belongs to God. And the only way any of us could accomplish anything, Jesus said, without me you can do what? Nothing. And there's a lady in our church, not able to come anymore, but she prays for me every day, and she prays during the preaching service as we're here worshiping and learning. The scripture, she's praying for us right now. And so would you just lead us in prayer, and we'll kind of do what we do back there. These guys pray over me, and I'll turn my mic off here for a second.
Well, praise God, and thank you, Pastor, for an opportunity just to kind of share a little bit more of my story. And this is actually a little bit tougher than I thought it was going to be, because many times when we're preaching, we kind of just give you the highlights. And I just wanted to share a few things of why Christ is so important to me, and how much I know that he loves me. Because growing up, if you had to describe me or my state, you would describe it as sad. You know, that I spent most of my childhood just being sad. And part of the reasons why is because the lack of love that I felt in my family and just in living. One example of that is that my father passed when I was 3 years old. But he passed in a situation where it was very unseemly. He died with his mistress in his car, and we spent several years of being on welfare because of the decisions that he had made. And so when I was looking at several of our albums, I was flipping through the book, and I would say, Mom, where's my pictures of Dad and I? She would make excuses, and she'd say, well, they all got messed up when water poured all over them. The reality of that, there was none. There was many of my sister and my father, but none of me. And my grandmother made a comment one time, and she caught herself basically saying that my father didn't want me, that he never wanted to spend any time with me. And so that kind of stuck. It hit hard. It hurt. And my mother was a very sad person. She felt like she was the black sheep of the family. And I spent years experiencing that from her, a great deal of negativity. Even so much so, just recently I saw a picture of my mom when she was about 12 years old, And she just looked so sad. And that's exactly how I felt growing up. And then my sister, who was also, you know, hurting from that, spent most of my childhood taking it out on me, beating me so much so. Her thing was, I'm not going to stop beating you until you bleed. And so I spent several years until I was 15 years old with numerous bloody nose scratches and scars. And I wondered, how could a God allow someone to live like this? And so I was sad and I was bitter. And I said, God, if you're real, show me. And as I was 16, and you all heard me talk about Sister Montgomery, but it wasn't just Sister Montgomery. There was a lady that knocked on the door and said, do you want to come to church? And she was a beautiful, spirited lady. And I couldn't say no. I could sense love coming out of her, and so I went to church. And I heard the teaching in Sunday school and the love that they were showing. And one of the reasons why I'm so big on hugs is because they hugged me there. And they caused the ice that was on my heart to be broken, to be melted. So much so that now I was able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I believe, now that I look back on it, I had heard it before, but I was so sad and so broken that I couldn't really hear. I couldn't really receive. And so when they asked me to come to the main service, that first main service, I heard Pastor Hurd say, Jesus loves you. God hasn't forgotten about you. And he wants to transform your life. All you have to do is receive his gift to you. And that sounded beautiful to me. And so I ran up to that altar. And I said, I want Jesus. I want the love that he has for me. So I gave my life to the Lord that day. And it was a heavy weight that was lifted off of me. And I rejoiced. And I felt gladness and I felt love. Truly for the first time. And then I, as most of us can testify, you know, sometimes when we go back to what we're doing, it doesn't become that easy. And so I found myself going back and forth for 4 years of, well, I know he loves me, but my flesh still wants to do this. My mind still wants to live a certain way. But God was convicting me for those 4 years. See, when I was 16, I made him Savior, but it wasn't until I was 20 that I made him Lord. And I said, you know what? I need to make him Lord. And when I did that on July 31st, 1989, he said, now these things that I've shared with you and taught you of faithful men, now you do the same. Share God's love. Share God's faithfulness. Because maybe there's somebody else out there that's thinking, if all we have is hope in this world, we're all most miserable. And I never wanted anyone to feel that way. So hug them. Love on them. Share God's peace and grace and mercy. Because he's been so good to me, and I know he's been good to you. And we can transform lives just with a hug. Amen. Praise God.
Well, our theme for the year is Choices Left the Building. And so we're going to hear some testimonies over the next few minutes from some different people. And go ahead and just open up your flyer, your pamphlet, your bulletin there. And there's a card inside there that I hope you'll take a look at. It says, this is my story. and I'm going to tell it. A few years ago, a few summers ago, we did a series called That's My Story and I'm Sticking to It. And we spent the whole summer talking about different testimonies from our church. And it was a great series, a fantastic time. And I'm looking forward to doing some more of those things. And we just sang this song, Blessed Assurance, This Is My Story, This Is My Song, praising my Savior all the day long. And the reality is we all have a story. And people love stories. If you look at the Bible, it's really not written as a theological manual, though it's filled with theology. It is a book of stories. It tells a whole bunch of stories. When I talk to people about preaching or teaching, I say, and all the principles that you lay out, most of the people aren't going to remember a lot of your teaching, but they will remember a story. Just a few weeks ago, Pastor Jeff preached a message, and I'm sure it was a fantastic message. But if you were to ask me what I remember of that message, it was a story. It was a story that somebody called him by accident. It was the wrong number, and he picked up, and he talked with this person, and ultimately shared the gospel with this person. They became a Christian. See, it's the stories that we remember. And so the Bible is filled with stories, and the reality is you have a story as well. All of us have a story about our life. Some are good and exciting how God's working. Sometimes it's because of bad choices that we've made in our own life. But all of us have a story. And so as we think of choice leaving the building, my desire this year, and especially this morning, is to just encourage you in your story. Because you have a story. If you know Jesus as Savior, maybe you got saved when you were a little child and you didn't live a wicked life, or maybe you got saved later in life and you really got off track. But either way, we have a story about God's grace. And that story consists of pre-salvation. What was our life like before we became a Christian? And then how did we become a Christian? How was God working in your life? What were those events? Just like Pastor Jeff was sharing there. So you came to Christ and accepted Jesus as your Savior. And then after your salvation, how has your life changed? You have a story, and so I have an insert there for you. And I hope that you will take some time either this afternoon or this week and begin writing your story down. And my desire is if you can tell that story in 3 minutes. And if you don't have a story, maybe it's because you're not a Christian. And if you are a Christian, the reality is you have a story. And you may not think it's a great story, but it is going to relate to the people that God places in your life. Those positives, those negatives, those ups, those downs. And God wants to use those stories to change the world. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to hear from some others as well. But let's ask God to help us with our story this morning. Dear Father, I pray that you would open our eyes, that we would behold wonderful things out of your law. God, may we remember how you've worked in our life. And those stories of life change, the conviction of our sin, the love that you have to offer, the emptiness that this world provides, and the impact of your Spirit working in our life. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in the weeks and months ahead as we tell our stories to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Dean, if you would just stand there and tell us how you came to know Christ.
Well, good morning. So as I think back before I came to Christ, there was only 5 years of my life before that, so I don't remember a whole lot. when I was a child, up until the age of four, I'll tell you what my home life was like as far as I can remember. My parents didn't know Christ between the time I was born and when I was 4 years old. And I remember at two, my dad taking me fishing with a buddy of his, and we were down on the river, and of course, little kid throwing rocks and tripping over things, and my dad and this other guy were drinking beer, and I don't know if they were doing much fishing, but they were doing more of drinking beer than anything else, and my dad gave me a sip of his beer at 2 years old, so guess what, I was probably well on my way to becoming what my father was. But thankfully, at the age of 4, there was a gentleman, his name was George Whitten, that was pursuing my father to share the gospel with him. And thankfully, at age of 4, my dad came to Christ. And it wasn't too long after that, my mom did as well. So, really, my life wasn't a mess before Christ, as far as I knew. About a year later, we were in a church service up at Ingleside Baptist Church in Alexandria, Virginia. And we had been going there for about a year. And at the age of 5, one Sunday night, I remember Pastor Wayne Thompson preaching about hell and about heaven. And I think at that moment, it was the first time I had ever really heard anything like that that really stuck. I mean, of course, I've been there for a year, but I didn't really know anything about it. And it was at that time, that night, at 5 years old, I was like, I don't want to go to hell. You know, that's all I knew, right? I mean, as a little teeny kid, I didn't know the benefits of what salvation meant. I just knew I did not want to spend eternity in hell. So that night, I was terrified. I when we got home from church, I was crying as we walked in the door, and I told my mom and dad, I said, I don't want to go to hell. And I don't remember a whole lot about that night, other than I remember my mom and dad opening up God's word on the couch and just sitting down beside him. Other than that, I really don't remember a whole lot. Then when I got to the 8th grade, God was very gracious to my family in the sense that my parents decided to send me and my brother to a Christian school all the way through from 1st grade to 12th grade. But when I was in 8th grade, my Bible teacher was talking about Revelation. Again, talking about, if you're not saved and the tribulation happens, that means the rapture already happened. And, so if you're still here, then apparently you're not saved. And so all these things were running through my mind. I kept going back. Okay, wait, 5, I remember trusting Christ as my Savior, I think. But I was like, all right, I need to make sure of this because I don't want to go through this situation. So anyhow, this gentleman, Mike Parrish, he prayed with me, and I just made sure that I was putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I can look back to that time now and just say, I know for sure, at least in 8th grade, and God knows if I was already saved at the age of 5, praise the Lord. And I think God carrying me into the future and how he's worked in my life ever since the age of 5 through high school, being able to go to Liberty University. I met my wife there, a wonderful Christian young lady at the time, and of course now she's just a beautiful Christian woman, and just a blessing to have by my side and just working with. But I think back, God saving me at such a young age, I didn't have to go through a lot of the difficulties that our children face today. Maybe many of you had faced as young people, the decision points in life. And for me and Christia, I just look at the opportunity that God has given me to work with our teams here over the last several years. I think that's one of the things that deeply motivates me is I want to share with them the truth of God's word and hopefully have them get on the right path with Jesus Christ and continue walking that path so they don't have to deal with the junk that a lot of people end up having to deal with, the poor decisions. And so the wisdom that comes through God's word is what we want to instill in our young people, and we love it. We thank you for the opportunity. But I praise the Lord, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do here at Choice over the next 25 years.
All right, great, great. Thank you. Well, look with me at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. This is our verse for the day that we're going to be looking at. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Here's what it says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, if I were to say there's a passage of Scripture that our church has focused on more than any other, it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's probably a passage I've preached on more than any other passage. It's more that I've talked about. It's probably a passage that has changed me and influenced my life. And here's what Romans 12 says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of all the things that God has done, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That passage has just revolutionized my life and really impacted me, and God has just taught me the importance of getting involved. So tonight we have a ministry fair, and also in the bulletin there's a card, hopefully, that you, if you've never come to that, that you'll fill that out and join us tonight. Pastor Jeff will give you more information about that, but just getting involved in a ministry is so vital to a Christian life. But if there's a second passage of Scripture that we focused on more than any other, after Romans 12, 1 and 2, it would be this verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's two thoughts in this passage that I want to give to you. The first verse says, if any man be in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? When you become a Christian, sometimes at a young age, we talk about asking Jesus to come into your heart or Jesus living within you and, you know, really understanding how that works out in our life, Jesus living within us. And that's very true, but also we are living in Christ as well. Now, it's a very deep theological truth, though it's simple that even a child can understand. But here's really what it means. Either you are in Christ right now in your life, or you are in Adam. In Romans 5, it kind of lays this out, and it says, either you are in Adam, or you are in Christ. You see, when we're born, we are born with the nature of our parents. And the nature of our parents came from the nature of our grandparents and our great-grandparents, and all the way back to Noah, and then ultimately to Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve did something that wasn't very good. They disobeyed God in the garden. They were created in the image of God, but that image was marred when Adam and Eve chose to sin. God said, don't eat of that fruit. They ate of that fruit. He said, if you eat of that fruit, you're going to die. You're going to spiritually die. And they spiritually died that day. And so everyone that has ever been born since has been born in Adam. And though we obtain the image of God, that image has been marred. And so none of us are born a Christian. Or at times people said, well, I've just always been a Christian. That's not true, because from our birth, all of us are born with a fallen nature. No matter how good your parents are, no matter how good you have been, you're not born a Christian. No matter if your parents baptize you, you join the church, or you've tried to live a good life, you went through catechism, confirmation, or whatever your church background is, we are all born in Adam. And the only way to get to heaven is to move away from being in Adam and to move to be in Christ. You see, to be in Adam means that we carry that sin nature and we follow after that sin nature. But when we are born into God's family, we are now in Christ. And to be in Christ means that we have accepted what he did for us on the cross. No longer do we want to accept what Adam did, but the last Adam, Jesus, we say by faith, I want to trust you as Savior. And so, Dean, I appreciate the story of how you got saved at a young age. And now Christy is going to share with us how she became a Christian at a young age as well. And you're just not born a Christian. You have to accept Christ by faith. So, Christy, if you'd share.
Okay. So, I've probably shared the gospel with quite a few people, but I probably haven't shared my story, and I've been guilty of saying it's just boring, it's not exciting, but it is exciting. I was saved from death to life at 5 years old. So my grandfather was a dairy farmer in Pennsylvania, and he was saved and left the Mennonite church that he had been raised in and became an evangelist, preaching the gospel mostly over the southeastern, the south. And he became an evangelist and eventually started a church in North Carolina, settled down there, and the church was probably running close to 1,000 people when my dad was a kid. And my dad met my mom there. Both sides of my family went to church there, grew up there. No one ever left there until my cousin and I grew up and moved away. So very family-oriented, awesome support group. But my salvation was just the culmination of all my Sunday school teachers, my parents, children's church teachers that had just poured the truth and the gospel into me from a few weeks after my birth until almost 6 years old. And I just remember, I don't remember the date, it's written down in my baby book or something, but I remember the night that there was not a special service or anything. I was at home, I went and got my mom, and I said, you know I need to ask Jesus to come into my heart. So she came, we knelt beside my pink canopy bed, and she prayed a prayer, and I repeated her words, but I do remember that I meant everything that I was saying. So I was so excited to go to church and tell everybody what I had done. And as a teenager, yeah, I saw the scary movies about being left behind in the tribulation and stuff. So I did make sure of my salvation, but I do believe I was saved as a little child. I accepted what I understood, and it was simple. I needed Jesus to go to heaven. So that's my exciting testimony.
All right, thank you. All right, great. So what does it mean to be in Christ? Well, here's what the book of Ephesians says. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says this: "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Again, there in verse 8, "For by grace." Grace is God's unmerited favor. It's not something that any of us deserve, because all of us were born in Adam, and we have this sin nature. Why is there problems in the world? It's because we were born with this fallen nature, and all of us have sinned. Whether we're 2 years old, 5 years old, or 55 years old, all of us have failed God. Just consider the Ten Commandments, and we go through that easily. We're like, yeah, I have failed God. God is holy, He's righteous, and I'm not. And it's God's grace, His favor, that provides us forgiveness. But how do I receive that forgiveness? Is it by the waters of baptism? No. Is it by me joining a church? No. It is by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. You see, it's not us bringing our good works to God. If we could bring our good works to God, then it would be us earning it. But it goes on to say it is a gift. Jesus paid for our sin. He covered it, and He offers us a free gift of eternal life if we will just accept Him. That's why John 3:16 says this: "For God so loved the world," right, "that He gave His only begotten Son," that's Jesus dying on the cross, "that whosoever," what? "Believes." How do I obtain salvation? It's not by the church, it's not by my parents, it's not by my works, it's by my faith. That moment that I trusted in Jesus Christ. I have a very similar story to Dean's. Ultimately, my parents became Christians. I trusted Christ as a six-year-old. I went forward during invitation. And I believe that's the moment that I asked Jesus to save me. But when I was 14, I heard one of those sermons on hell, and I realized I didn't want to go there. And when I was 14, I made sure of my salvation. I said, "Jesus, I believe I got saved at a young age. I believe John 3:16, that if I didn't get saved at six, I ask you to save me right now. Please come into my life." And there's nothing wrong with asking for it again. You don't have to keep doing it over and over again. I mean, you get saved, you have eternal life. It doesn't end. But if you have any questions about it, make sure that you know you're a Christian. Ask Jesus Christ to save you. A couple weeks ago, I was preaching at a Christian school. And while I was preaching, God began speaking to me. And my message was on how I survived my teen years. And I said, during my junior high years, I mean, I really struggled. I struggled with just self-confidence, you know, how to present myself, what this world was all about. And then I said, but when I got to high school, I'm not quite sure of what had changed. And when I said that, I went on to say, I'm not quite sure, what had changed, but when I became a teen in high school, there was a different confidence in my life. And God just kind of spoke to my heart. Do you remember what you did at 14 in between junior high and senior high? You asked me to save you. And I walked with you every step of the way since then. That's why you could have confidence, because you couldn't trust in yourself, but I was always there. I was there during those difficult times. I was there during those fearful times. I was there during those times of temptation. That's why you could walk with me. That's why you didn't overly care what everybody thought, because you were more concerned with what I thought. And God was speaking to me while I was speaking to this group of teenagers. And I know that I either got saved at 6 or 14. I'm not sure which, but I know that I'm a Christian and God has changed my life. But the reality is, as a teen, I didn't always walk with God. And I wanted to, and I regularly read my Bible. I went to church faithfully, but I kind of wouldn't say I was living two lives. I just, by the time the weekend got there, I just wasn't as strong as I was on Sunday, and it ended up doing some things that I shouldn't. I'd come back to church on Sunday, and I was like, why'd I do that this weekend? I'm not going to do that anymore, and just kind of lived in that cycle for a while. And then there came a point in my life that I was heading home one night, and I had gotten a new group of Christian friends. God was really working in my life, and I lived over this hill, and as I was driving over this hill, God put this fork in the road in my mind, this crossing in the road, and he said, Tim, it's time to make a choice. You're going to live for yourself, or are you going to live for me? And I knew I wanted to walk with God. It was a very scary moment. I was like, God, you know that I want to follow you, and I'll do whatever it takes. And he said, there's some things you just need to get out of your life, which deals with that second part of 2 Corinthians 5. If any man be in Christ, that's just a simple thing by faith. There's nothing you do to be in Christ except that you believe, you accept the gospel. Has there been that time in your life that you admitted your sin, believed on Jesus, and called on him to be your Savior? If so, then you're in Christ. If you can't think of a point in your life, you may be in Adam and you need to get that changed. But if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. God has changed you, and he wants to transform you. Old things are passed away. Behold, it's time for all things to become new. God wants to change our life. Melissa, are you next? Okay, we'd like to hear your story, would you?
All right, so same thing as Dean and Christy, the pastor. I was saved when I was 6. So my pre-salvation story was like graham crackers and Sesame Street books. So that's about what I remember of that. But I remember at 6 years old, the pastor was talking, and I felt God prompting me to go and accept him. I knew Christ. I had heard about him, and I knew I wanted to accept him, and that was the very next step that I needed to make. But at 6 years old, the aisle that you had to walk down, because you all had to walk down the aisle no matter what you were going to do, salvation, membership, whatever, you had to walk down the aisle. And to me at the time, it looked like it was 3 miles long. So it was hard for me to take this step and walk down the aisle, but thankfully I did. And then my post-salvation story for me was a little bit, I think, of disillusionment. I was 14 as well, and I remember that realization that my parents didn't always practice what they preach. And the church that I had accepted Christ in, when we went back, it was falling apart because of infighting. And the pastor, I came to realize at the time, could barely look at me because I was a product of interracial marriage. My mom's white, my dad's black, and so there was a profound disillusionment of the Christian walk for me. But fast forward a little bit, and looking back at everything that God was weaving together, the one constant I started to see in my adult life was that I had a shepherd to guide me consistently back to the path and the plans that he had for me. Like Jeremiah says, he knew the plan he had for me. He had a hope and a future. And I saw him guide me down that path through the detours and the twists and turns and the imperfections constantly back to him. And what was amazing to me looking back was that he even used those imperfections to bring me to him. I thought about it, and I realized that he used my imperfect parents to bring me to an imperfect church, to walk down that aisle toward an imperfect pastor so that I could know, love, and accept a perfect and holy Savior. And that has made all the difference, and it's why I'm here today.
Wow. Thank you. Someone once said, I'd be a Christian if it weren't for Christians. They meant the message makes sense, that a God that loves me, a God that cares, a God that wants to restore me. But Christians, on the other hand, they're imperfect, aren't they? Wow, thank you, Melissa. That was powerful. So what's your story? What's your message? How is God working in your life? Are you changed? If your life is not different, there's something that's dreadfully wrong. If we're not walking in that new path, we have to ask ourselves, am I in Christ? And if I am in Christ, what are those things that I need to remove out of my life? And what are those things I need to add into my life so I can become that new creation in Christ? Old things are gone and the new has come. It is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Yes, we accept Jesus as Savior. And then, yes, we have to surrender. We have to present ourselves to Him as Lord. But they should come together as close as possible, where we offer ourselves to God. Here I am, God. So we have one more testimony, and we're going to wrap it up. But Patty's going to share how she came to know Jesus as Savior. And Patty, if you would just share with us your story.
Well, I was born in a Christian home. My grandfather was a pastor, and at that time, my dad was a deacon and teaching Sunday school. And so at GA camp, when I was 10 years old, I accepted Christ as my Savior and got baptized. Well, things kind of started to change in my home. As I reached high school, my parents had quit going to church, and so I quit going to church. And when I started high school, I changed my friend group, and I started running with friends that didn't serve the Lord. Friends are important, guys. They're so important. So I did not live for Christ at all. I am probably safe to say I did not live for Him in every way that you can think of. And it was hard, but though I was hard to God's Spirit, I still believed I was saved. And in the midst of my sin and rebellion, if the subject of Christianity came up, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus. And I really believe I was, y'all. I was just so hard to his voice. I didn't hear Him. I didn't listen. I didn't want to hear Him. And so my end of my senior year, I started dating Steve. For those of you that don't know me, I'm married to the piano man. And so I was not even intentionally looking for a Christian man. The only thing I can think is that in the back of my mind, I knew he was raised a Christian too, though he was in rebellion to the Lord as well. So we got married. I was 21. And then within the year, I started feeling like, okay, I'm married now. It's time to get back in church. And he's like, what? Because he was mad at God because his mom died, and boy, he was running. And so he finally, with encouragement, decided to go. And we went to the church that I grew up in, that we were married in. My grandma was still going there and prayed for me all the time, I know. And the people there loved us so well. They invited Steve to play on the softball team. We were playing in clubs every weekend. That was what he did with his music then, was it helped make a living. And we'd come in Sunday morning and head for the coffee pot, and they just loved us and knew what we were living, but loved us. And so it was probably about a year later, I remember it like yesterday, the pastor was preaching on, are you living with one foot in the world and one foot with Christ? And we weren't even sitting together that Sunday. We had even started singing in the choir, but I was not feeling good. So I'm out in the congregation. He's up in the choir with his long hair down to here. And I praise God for that moment that he spoke to us at the same time. We were living such anti-Christ lives that he knew he had to get us on the same page, and the same message spoke to both our hearts. And we got in the car, and I said, Steve, do you think we're living the way we need to be living? And he said, I know I'm not. And right there in the parking lot, we just started crying together. And so we went home, and we continued to talk, and the Lord, Steve's kind of thumbing through the Bible. You know, he grew up in church, but it had been many years since he really studied the Word. And God took him to Romans 7, where the Bible talks about the battle of the flesh and the spirit. And you want to do what's right, but you just can't. Your flesh is at war with the spirit within you. And we're like, oh, my goodness, this is us. And the version we were reading, I remember at the end, it says, what can I do about this terrible predicament I'm in? Thank God I have been set free through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we just cried some more, and we're like, okay, we're done with our old life. We got to quit the band. God's going to provide. He's going to open doors. And we poured out, threw away everything that we didn't need in our house. And from that day forward, we didn't look back. You think you can't change your life overnight? If God tells you to, you can. He will give you the strength. And we have been living for Jesus 100% to the best of our ability since that day. Praise God. And I claim that scripture, I am a new creature in Christ. The old is gone. I don't even know that girl who that was. This is me, free in Christ.
Well, let's just bow our heads for a moment. We're going to have our time of invitation. Our invitation is a time for you to respond as the music team comes up. I just want to ask you two questions. Number one, are you in Christ? Has there been that time in your life that you asked Jesus to be your Savior? I mean, you know in your heart that there was a point in your life that by faith you called on Jesus Christ and asked him to save you. If not, we have this time of invitation for you to come. Melissa talked about that long aisle. The reality is you don't have to come down to an altar or go down the aisle. But we'd love to share with you how you can know that for sure so you don't have any doubts about it. If you've never accepted Christ as Savior but you'd like to, you could pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe that you died for me and rose again. And the best I know how, I ask you to forgive my sins. Come into my life and save me. Please take me to heaven when I die. Has there been that time in your life that you accepted Christ? Why don't you get that settled? Here's my second question. If you answer yes to the first, you say, yes, I know there's been that point in my life that I accepted Jesus Christ. Here's the question, are you new? All things become new. Are you trusting Him as Lord of your life? On a day-to-day basis, not just your soul for eternity, but for your life right now, the people you hang around, the places you go, the lifestyle, the things in your private world. Now, are you new? Not just removing the old, but are the new things coming in your life? Reading the Bible, spending time in prayer, sharing your faith with others, going to church, getting involved in ministry, all these spiritual disciplines that God wants us to have in our life. Am I a Christian? And number two, am I living like a Christian? This invitation's for you. Dear Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for these stories of your grace. God, we are unworthy of your goodness. We don't deserve the gift of your Son. But we thank you for loving us enough in spite of ourselves, in spite of our choices so often. And we accept that love today. And God, may your Holy Spirit fill us and guide us, use us to be witnesses for you. Lord, may you silence the thoughts in our mind, and may they only be yours right now. Sanctify this moment for your glory. And let's stand for our invitation song. And if you want to come to this altar and pray or have somebody pray with you, you come right now. Maybe you just haven't been sharing your faith. You step out and come. I want to share my faith with others.